My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could be with us. Today's message, God's Grace in My Life, expresses the wonderful grace of God that manifests itself in God's people.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so glad that we could come back this weekend, and we just want to thank you for opening up your door for us, letting us come in. And all over the world, we're going into homes and into cars and into businesses and places, and we're going to worship the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be thinking about the wonderful grace of God and how that grace of God affects our life, makes a change in us. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We'd get so many nice letters. Let me share some of them here. Here's Moore, Oklahoma, and they write, I'm happy to hear you're broadcasting shortwave. I'm happy to hear you're broadcasting shortwave to the secret Christians in communist North Korea. My wife is Korean. We've been married 40 years. I was saved in a Korean church in 1992. Continue preaching the Bible. I'm a deacon and a Sunday school teacher in our Korean American church. My wife is an alto in the choir. God bless you all. And we are thrilled to get this letter because we've just now gone shortwave into North Korea. And the Billy Graham Association tells us, they have research, that the hardest place to live the Christian life is North Korea. And we want to encourage these brothers and sisters and let them know that their lives just encourage us. And we pray for them, and God knows all about it. And someday in glory, they're going to wear the martyr's crown. And that won't that be something? Then here's Minot, North Dakota. They write, I've accepted the Lord in my life. I can feel him in my heart so many times. He has forgiven my sins and taken me into his arms. I now have cancer, such a horrible disease. Please pray for me over and over. I have to leave it with my Lord. Need your support. Please send me some information on what you think I need. Thank you so much. And so here's a dear lady. She's accepted Jesus. And now she's so thrilled about knowing the Lord. Now she has cancer. And she's putting her heart, everything in Jesus' hands. And we've already sent literature to her and prayed for her. And I hope everybody will pray for this lady, Minot, North Dakota, and pray that just God will just bless her. And he'll never give us more than we can bear. And so we're just thankful for that letter. Here's Newton, Iowa. And they write, as every week you preach the wonderful news of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you honor our Lord. Bring the lost to a saving knowledge and encourage and thrill the hearts of believers. We are your cheering section. We know because of your faithfulness in telling God's truth and our donations, however small, brings God's message to millions. Keep on keeping on. And so I just like this because it says, we're your cheering section. Now, really, you're a part of our team. And so you can pray for us. And you can tell others. And tell others to tune us in and others to watch us and watch the service. And you can send a gift. And if God has blessed you that way, but we need your help. We need somebody to stand with us. And our only source of income is God's people. And so I'll give the address in just a minute, because if you want to write, and then you can write, we'll pray for you. And you can write, and maybe we'll share your letter with somebody else, and they'll hear your letter, and they'll pray for you. All over the world, we're praying for each other. It's the body of Christ all over the world. I just rejoice when I think about that. And so then here's one more I want to read, Moorhead, Minnesota. In February of this year, my husband passed away. About 2 months before he died, we were listening to you on Sunday morning. He received Jesus and forgiveness of sin. I pray for the Christian Worship Hour, how that many come to receive him. And so here's what you do. I write in the sermon, I'll tell you how to accept Jesus. And here's a man who's been watching us. And he prayed right during the service. And what did he pray? What do you pray to get to heaven? You just simply talk to Jesus in your own words. And you say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I confess my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can, and thank him, then thank you, Jesus, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to go to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven or hell. And how do you know where you're going? You decide. Nobody decides it for you. You choose Jesus or you choose the devil. You say, oh, I never choose the devil. I'm not going to choose Jesus. I'm not going to choose the devil. I'm neutral. You know, we got these neutrals running all over the place, drive you crazy. You know what Jesus said? If you're not for me, you're against me. That's it. So if you're not for Jesus, you're for the devil. And that ought to shake you in your boots. And so pray. And Jesus says in John, God tells us in Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the, he says, behold, it's a miracle. He says, I stand at the door and knock, your door of your heart. If any man open that door, I will come in and I'll dwell with him and I'll take away his sins and I'll make him my child. Just pray that right now. And then you write and tell us. I'm going to give you the address right now because maybe you want to send us a letter too. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you've accepted Jesus, you write and we'll send you literature. And if you want to send a gift or want to write to us, just write. We'd love to hear from you. But now let's look at this wonderful grace. Last week we talked about grace and we defined grace, had some illustrations of grace. And now today we're going to see how it changes our life, what it does for us when we accept Jesus and we're born again, that wonderful grace of God changes our life. We want to see, we were looking, for instance, in the church when it just began, this wonderful grace of God was in that first church in Pentecost. And so we read in Acts 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And listen to this, and great grace was upon them all. So here's the plan of God for advancing his kingdom in this world. The word of God, the spirit of God, and the grace of God. And so let's look at what that does in our life. Five things I put down that grace does in our heart and our life. First of all, that wonderful grace when we accept Jesus. And that wonderful grace is shed abroad. The love and grace of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It makes us unselfish toward other people. The earliest days of the Christian church, what did they do? That a grace of God shone brightly through their unselfishness, and they even sold what they had and brought it and put it at the apostles' feet and said, divide this among the poor. We're all together in this thing. And there was a man, Barnabas, listen to what it tells about him, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That grace, great grace made this possible. The great grace is shown in the life. It's shown as we think of others, as we help others, as we love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, great grace was upon them all, and that's what happened. They were unselfish, and they cared for others. Second thing it does, it makes us encourage others. We begin to see the needs in others. St. Paul put it, we look on the things of others. We're mindful of those who the grace overlooks the faults and failure, encourages the brothers and sisters. We're not so critical of other people, and we make allowances for them. We help them and encourage them in the Christian life instead of putting them down. God instructs us, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that we overlook sins. It doesn't mean that we condone sins. It doesn't mean that we make excuses for sins. But honest failures and are overlooked, and true love, we says, here's a new Christian, and they've stumbled here, and we love them. We're not going to kick them when they're down. We're going to take their hand and lift them up and encourage them in the things of the Lord. We see that in the home. For instance, we're told in the scriptures, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, that's exactly what it's doing. It says, parents, encourage your children. Help them along. Show grace toward them. Don't be so tough on them. You have to discipline, and you have to teach them the lessons of life because you're responsible for that. But just show grace and encourage them along the way. And you children, you can remember this too, that one of the commandments of God is to obey your father and your mother. And children might express a little more gratitude toward their parents. And when you children have the grace of God in your heart, you will not only love your parents, but you'll obey your parents. And you won't sass back and you won't fight back, but you'll submit because they're responsible for your soul. And you ought to thank God if you have a parent or a single parent or a double parent, whatever you have. Just thank them and listen and cooperate them. And when grace abounds, we don't look on our own things. We're not always talking about our own things and ourselves. We're not constantly taking selfie pictures. Selfie pictures, never heard of that till the last, I don't know when I heard about it. Probably been around for a while. But when I was a kid, selfie didn't mean a thing. Well, here you are. And it reminds me of a young lady. And she's hired by to be a secretary. And the manager the first day tells her all of her duties. And then he says, now I'm going to tell you a little about myself so you'll know about me. And then he starts bragging. And he brags and he brags. And he says how he excelled in athletics in school. He was president of the class. How now he's president of the company. He gets all kinds of awards. He gets all kinds of bonuses. He's bragged and bragged. And finally the secretary couldn't stand it any longer. And she said, tell me, sir, have you ever had a group photo taken of yourself? And that's the way they live, that just live for themselves. When grace abounds, we think about others. We talk about others. We encourage others. We lift up others. We bring joy and we bring blessing. Why not do that yet right today? Why don't you write a card to somebody and tell them how they've blessed you and encouraged you? Give them a telephone call. Send them a gift. Tell them you love them. Tell them you appreciate them. And just let it be known that when you have that wonderful grace of God, it's going to show as we help other people and encourage other people. And then third, this grace makes us considerate of other people. Sometimes we can be so judgmental, so critical, so demanding, so exacting. We are just like those old Pharisees, those stiff old Pharisees. Sometimes we become superior spiritually, and we are so spiritual. And here are these others, they're just little babies, and they don't know what it's all about. I tell you, we got 40-year-old Christians, been 40 years, and they're the biggest baby in the church. They never did grow. They're still on milk, still causing trouble. Well, grace tells us, first of all, you just take people the way they are when they come to Jesus. And then with these new Christians, we pray for them and we encourage them and we're considerate of them. And we see them in their needs. And if you plan on cleaning up your old act before you come to the Lord, you will never come. They don't try to be perfect before you come. I hear people say, I had a man tell me not long ago, well, before I become a Christian, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. See, well, he's the biggest hypocrite you ever saw. And he's not going to be a hypocrite. Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't try to clean up that old nature and clean up your life because you're going to fail. You need help. And when you accept Christ, he gives you a new nature. But before you accept Christ, you have that old nature. It's for instance, you remember the pioneers coming and they built sod houses. The walls were made out of sod. And they had for the floor dirt. Now, supposing this woman gets up someday and she says, oh, I must clean my floor. And she gets soap and water and a mop and she starts cleaning up that dirt floor. And the more she cleans, the worse it gets. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to be so nicey nice before you accept Jesus. And you're never going to make it. You're going to make a mess out of yourself. And so come to Jesus, and he gives us a new nature. A new nature. St. Paul tells us about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us a new nature, a spiritual nature. And the old nature is after the flesh and the lust of the flesh. The new nature is after the things of God, see? And then when some people are saved, God starts that process. And one old pastor said, he tells about it, he says, you know, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. And so you're not going to get your life cleaned up, and you can get as clean as a whistle and go to hell, because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you still have your sins, no matter how good you are. And so this cleaning process takes a lot of time. For instance, I'm 95 years old, and God is still trying to straighten me out. And here I am, he works with me, but he never gives up. And he's works, and I'm never going to be perfect in this life as long as I live. God is going to work us till he takes us home. And then the final chapter will be written. If we outlive Methuselah, think about Methuselah, the eighth patriarch, son of Jacob, Enoch, grandfather of Noah, 969 years. If he'd reached perfection before he died, no. And it's impossible. Remember, God says that we need to just to have this process of growing in grace and being more like Christ. And those of us who know the Lord, and we see a new Christian come in, those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, we're told by St. Paul. And so we try to help each other and love each other. That's the wonderful grace of God. And then grace, this wonderful grace helps us to forgive and to forget. And when we think about the Lord Jesus, and all that he forgave and all that he put aside for us and the wonderful way he saved us from our sins, we just give wonderful grace to God and thanks to God. And so we need to forgive and to forget as we go along. Someone says that the blood of Jesus Christ, John says, that blood cleanses us from all sins. And he's saying that you're going to forgive these things. We need to forgive each other. We need to forgive ourselves too. And Paul talks about that. He says, forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm going to put all of my old sins into the past. And oh, he had some terrible sins. He persecuted the church. He says, forgetting those things, just leave them under the blood of Christ. And God says, I've forgiven you all your sins. And then I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. How do you measure that? You can't measure it, see? And so just see how he takes care of you, loves you, and will take care of you that way. So this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us to forgive and to forget. And then he says grace makes us successful for eternity. We all know that works done by might and by power in the arm of the flesh, they're not going to stand up for eternity. But what were the works we do in grace and truth and the things we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, they will stand forever. Daniel says those who work for the Lord are going to shine like the stars in the firmament, stars shine forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not the work of the Lord. And when we do the things of God and walk for the Lord, those are things that are going to face us in eternity. And we're going to be rewarded for the service we give to the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it's only a cup of cold water to somebody. And so St. Paul tells us that be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is, model it and teach it and demonstrate it. And then we work, and he does it through his word, the Holy Word of God and the Spirit of God, and then his grace. And this grace will fall upon others and will fall upon us. And because it falls upon us, then we will help others and help others along the road because we've been blessed. Some people take the grace of God, but they don't give any grace. And we take the grace of God and we share it with others, and it'll be eternal dividends. Down the road, you'll see the results of it. I read about a police officer stopped a woman because her young daughter was riding in the car without a required booster seat. He could have written her a ticket right on the spot for a violation, but instead he said to the mother and daughter, drive over to that store over there across the street, And there the officers went in, and an officer went in and personally paid for the needed car seat. He gave it to that woman. Now that woman, she deserved a ticket because she has broken the law. She's violated the law. But here comes this policeman. And out of the love of his heart and the grace in his heart, he takes her there. And instead of getting a ticket, she gets a new car seat for her little child. That's the grace of God lived out in the life of a policeman. And that grace ought to be shown in our hearts too. You and I, like that mother, have broken God's law. We deserve eternal death and we deserve eternal hell. And then the Apostle Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. That mother later on said, I will be forever grateful. And as soon as I can afford it, I'll be helping someone in need. That's the grace of God, because it has been given to us through Jesus Christ. We in turn give it to somebody else and pass it along. And then when we come to that great judgment day and we're going to meet God all face to face, we're going to see that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, that grace of God, he's going to reward us for all of our services. So thus it is, we start in grace, we live in grace, we die in grace. We start in grace because we're saved by the grace of God. We receive Jesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We start in grace. Then we live in grace. And we have been talking about that today. These five different things comes because we're living a different life. Because of that grace of God, we have a different life and a different outlook on life. And we die in grace. And when we die in grace, that grace will sustain us. And the words of God will say, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, and he'll be always with us. Have you experienced that grace of God? No, you say, I haven't. Would you like to? I know you would like to, and here's how you get it. You just stop doing whatever you're doing, and you say in your own words, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you, God. And I ask Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can, dear Jesus. And then thank you, Jesus. You can do that. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word, if you sincerely mean that prayer, you have everlasting life. You have been born again. You've been born from above. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's happened the moment you said that prayer. It's not in the future. It's right now. You're a child of this wonderful Savior. So you just make that prayer. And if you've asked him into your heart and you have taken him as your Lord, then you write to us. And we'll send you some literature, and we'll help you along the way. And we'll give you some things and get you started in the Christian life. Then if you have questions, you can ask us about that. We'll stand with you. And all over the world, we're praying, here you are. God is speaking to your heart. He's knocking at your heart's door. And you just know, you don't hear any voices, and you don't see any visions, nothing like that. You don't get goose pimples, but you just know in your heart, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want heaven. I don't want hell. I want Jesus. And you pray in your own words, and Jesus will save you. And so now you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, and we need your help. When you write to us, you can send us a gift if you possibly can, because our only support is God, from God's people. And so you send a gift to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to, some of you use the internet, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send gifts over the Christian Worship Hour, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you worry about how the money's being spent, we are a full member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is an international organization that checks churches and religious organizations, checks their books, and they check to see how we receive our money, how we handle the money, how we receipt the money. And then they check on with a very close checking of see how we spend it and where do we put it and do we put it where we say we will. So you can rest assured it's being sent in full. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention is that we have a little book and you can write to us. It's a little Bible study and it's the New Song. And it's a Bible study every month. And it has excerpts from letters. And it has a lot of the sermon topics, you know, the text. And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Bar. And I'm giving that for, it's on the screen, but I want all of you getting us by shortwave. We'd love to hear from you too. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write and we'll rejoice. And so we're just going to pray now that pray for all of you. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in North Korea. Every week we pray for our brothers and sisters in some part of the world. So Heavenly Father, we're praying first of all for everybody today, right now, who has accepted you. They're born again. They're entered the kingdom. They're going to go to heaven. And I just thank you for everyone who has come. I thank you for those who drifted away and they've come back. Now, Lord, I'm praying that you'll help those on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and those can't get around and they're forgotten people a lot of times and they're lonely. And so just help them to know you are there. And then the persecuted church in North Korea, hardest place on the face of the earth, we're told. For a Christian, they're being persecuted harder there in North Korea than anywhere. Oh, my God, help those people and help them to know that you are there and help them to know that their example is blessing us and strengthening us. And all over the world, we're praying for them in North Korea. Take heart, take heart. God's going to have the last word. Lean on him. And when you do that, everything will work out just fine according to the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for opening up your doors. I hope that you'll tell some of your friends about the Christian Worship Hour. Get them to tune in. Maybe they don't know the Lord, and maybe they won't go to church, but they would listen to the television. And so just tell them about that and tell them if it's been a blessing to you and how it's helped you and strengthened you in the faith. We get letters all the time. I'm a better Christian because of the Christian Worship Hour. Well, you know why you are? Because the Christian Worship Hour preaches the Bible. That's all we preach. We're full of the Bible. We're saturated with the Word of God. That's where the power is, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So God bless you. And we're going to be looking for you next weekend, Lord willing. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.